for and the usual arrangements. If you'd like to come for the meal, please let me know by the Wednesday before. And birthdays, I think John Perkins has a birthday this week, our friend in Scotland, and Graham also has, the young man over there, he has a birthday. Anyone else have a birthday in the coming week? And I know Heather's birthday will be the week after next, and we won't be here next week, so we can sing to her as well. Okay. Happy birthday to you. Have a lovely day when it comes. Our call to worship today comes from Psalm 27, verse 1, and verses 4 to 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. And let us do just that as we sing, "The Lord's My Shepherd." Please be seated. I move closer. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you for this day. We thank you for the many ways you speak to us. Through your word, visions, dreams, and through other people. Thank you that you see the bigger picture. You see the whole story from start to finish. Each day for us is a new page in life's book, revealing ups and downs, promises for now and for what is yet to come. Thank you that unwavering trust in you banishes all dark shadows and uncertainties. Help us to walk in faith. Lord, we are sorry when we fail to believe in your promises, when we think we must have heard you wrong. Forgive us for doubting and not trusting enough. Help us to have faith like Abraham and deepen our trust in you, knowing that your promises may not yet have been fulfilled.
Now, nice little friendship.
Today's first reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Thanks be to God for this word.
The second lesson is from Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. Jesus' sorrow for Jerusalem. At the same time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go and tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. And what a privilege it is to be here today for all that we've shared so far, a wonderful time of testimony and declaring, as we heard in that first reading, how you are standing firm in the Lord Jesus Christ, despite all that we have to face and sometimes this opposition that we've heard of in that second reading. And that will be the theme of our message today. But let's just draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, in your holy word today, we just ask that we will see Jesus and hear his voice. Lord, you seek us out like the hen seeks out her chicks. And you offer us the protection and the safety of your strong wings. And Lord, we thank you and bless you. And we just pray that we will know your word for us today, and that you will help us going forward to stand firm in you and keep looking with our eyes fixed on Jesus and awaiting his coming. Amen. The fox and the hen. Intriguingly, both creatures are mentioned by Jesus in the reading that we heard. As we look at this picture on the screen, well, I think that's probably quite close enough, don't you? Our hens here in Jersey don't have this worry, do they? They're not looking over their shoulder because we don't have the foxes. They're more carefree. I'm reminded of the fable of Chicken Licken and Henny Penny. Do you remember that one? I'm sure you read that one many years ago. And the cunning fox had the last laugh on that day, and a tasty lunch, if I remember rightly. And the setting of our Bible reading is this, that up until this point, Jesus was warning the people about the Pharisees and exposing their hypocrisy. But today it's the Pharisees who have a warning for Jesus. Get away from here. Herod wants to kill you, Jesus. You'd better get out of town. Stay safe. Look after yourself. And it makes me wonder, why did Jesus' opponents want to help him in that way? It seems a kind gesture, perhaps, from moderate Pharisees, fellow Jews together, at that point, maybe, against the common enemy of Rome. Or maybe the Pharisees just wanted Jesus out of the way. We don't know, but whatever their motive, Jesus will not be moved. He will not be moved. He will stand firm. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, as we heard, "Go and tell that fox, Herod, for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons, performing cures today and tomorrow." And interestingly, today and tomorrow, today in Jesus' day, tomorrow, the testimony we've heard from Kevin of healing, today and tomorrow, then and even to this day, he's continuing his work. And on the third day, I finish my work. Looking ahead to the resurrection, the completion. On face value, it seems Jesus had every reason to fear the tyrant Herod. The power imbalance is like the fox and the hen, power against vulnerability. And goodness me, evil Herod knew what it was to kill. Murder and death were in his nature. It was a kingdom of evil. And he demonstrated resistance to the ways and the will of God, resisting Christ's claim to kingship, resisting ways of peace and freedom, opposing Christ. But Jesus will not be moved. He clearly indicates here his contempt for Herod. Everyone knew at that time all that Herod's claim to royalty was the fact that his father had been the most effective thug around and had promoted him to keep order at this remote part of the Roman Empire. He was a fox indeed. And the parallels are there. The fox, a vigilant mammal, hunting in its nature to kill. And the fox, a metaphor for someone who is sly and cunning. Maybe the fox has a bad press today because of what we put on it, but calling Herod a fox was a way of denouncing him. And we know, as we think about the world today, we can see similar ruthless and powerful figures like Herod who cause oppression. Foxes hungry for power and domination, where the vulnerable are most at risk. It's true, isn't it? We see the presence of evil today in our world. There are battles being fought on the world stage to this day, good against evil. And battles within the human heart as well. Just think for a moment how you react to the fears that you have, to the threats that are whispered to your heart from afar. For we all face opposition and danger in some kind, maybe to a lesser degree, but in some kind, we all face opposition and danger. And the Bible is full of characters, women and men, who have faced opposition and have looked to the Lord. We began our service with Psalm 27, only part of it, but read on at some point the whole of Psalm 27. Because David, he knew what it was to be under attack and under threat. He says in that psalm, evildoers assail me to devour my flesh. My adversaries and foes, an army encamps against me. False witnesses have risen against me. They are breathing out violence. But he knew to look to God to be his shield, his defense. And we too, to this day, in the troubles and trials and opposition that we face, the things that are going against us, when we're feeling hunted down, God is our sure defense and our shield. And we have the whole armor of God to resist the enemy. And David, in that psalm, brackets his psalm with affirmations. He began, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And he ended, "I believe I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take courage and wait for the Lord. And perhaps that's a message for us today, for you. Fears and dangers are held and constrained in the loving hand and heart of God. We stand firm in Jesus. Jesus, who stood firm and fulfilled his Father's destiny. Yes, Jesus would eventually die in the hands of the authorities, those who were against him, but not here in Galilee. He would, before his death, be taken back to Herod, but then sent on to Pontius Pilate. Yes, Christ had set his face to Jerusalem, and there was no turning backs, no threats that would put him off, or resistance that would turn him back. His Father's work must be completed. And still to this day, he is about his Father's business in your life, as we've heard, and in mine, bringing healing and wholeness in body, mind, and spirit, whatever the opposition or dangers. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have. What an able Savior. And his mission must be fulfilled, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the building of his church. His love and compassion and mission must not be overcome by fears and threats. And we see his love and anguish writ large in Luke 13, verse 34. And what a tender picture Christ paints for us. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. And there are stories of exactly this. The Bible commentator Canon Tom Wright has written these words. After a farmyard fire, those cleaning up have found a dead hen, scorched and blackened, with live chicks under her wings. She has quite literally given her life to save them. It's a vivid and violent image of just what Jesus said he longed to do for Jerusalem, and by implication for all Israel, for all of us. But at that moment, all Jesus could see was the chicks scurrying off in all directions, taking no notice of the smoke and the flames and the danger that was coming. And when we look at the immediate history of what happened following, in AD 70, the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem, how the Roman eagle destroyed the fledglings. I took this photograph, which is a scene some of you will recognize. I took that picture when I was on pilgrimage in Israel in 2016, outside the church on the Mount of Olives. And perhaps you've been there too. The church is called Dominus Flevit, Latin for Jesus Wept. And that church is built in the shape of a teardrop. And at the front, behind the altar, the window frames the view of this old city of Jerusalem. And there it captures the communion table as well, the communion cup and wafer, and around the glass, the ironwork depicting the thorns, the crown of thorns. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, who had rejected the gospel of peace. And he still weeps over Jerusalem, over Gaza, over Ukraine and Russia, and all places and lives and situations and individuals. He weeps over us. And he looks on the world and he hears the cries of a battered creation, and longs for us to lift our eyes to him. And that pain, again, didn't cause Jesus to give up, but to go on. He would trust his Father and finish his Father's work. He would keep on loving others with the bowl and towel of humble service. And he would bear the cross to save us, as we will remember in bread and wine shortly. He would take upon himself the world's desolation and sin. As Kevin said, going down that corridor of time into the future, saving us from our sins, past and present and future. He would risk the threat of the fox to give his life for the fledglings. He would destroy the power of sin and evil, rising again to new life. And that's the wonderful thing to affirm, that Satan has been defeated. Satan is a wild beast, but he is a chained beast, and his power is now limited. And when Satan reminds us of our past, we remind him of his future. He has no power over us. So like Jesus, as we go into this new week, perhaps on an uphill path, perhaps bearing our own crosses, let us rejoice that Jesus has been there too, and he has come through the desert wildernesses of temptation and trial. He came through the threats of Herod. He came through Gethsemane. He came through Golgotha. And he went on, and we shall follow where he has led. We keep on loving others. So be strong in the Lord. Take courage and continue to wait for the Lord. Amen. Let us have a moment of quiet as we let that word sink into our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to help us to respond. Thank you, Lord, that you hear these prayers and continue to seal your word in our hearts, we pray, as we respond. Amen. Faithful one, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace. Let's continue.
Let us pray. Lord, as we wait for your promises to be fulfilled, help us to keep trusting your faithfulness. Heavenly Father, as we look upon the state of our world, it is easy to despair. When we focus our attention on incredible suffering in Africa, the devastation of so much of the Middle East, the continued war in Ukraine, and the fragile attempts for a ceasefire, we often fail to understand. We may be tempted to ask, are you still in control? Lord, we do not have the answers, yet you have invited us to pray. And so we come, offering our faltering prayers to you, believing, even if only a little bit at times, that you are listening and you will act. We bring the many needs of the world to you now. Those we see in the news, and those seen only by you. You see the pain, and you see the suffering. And yet we know, and we trust, that you are Lord. Lord, sometimes our problems and troubles seem insurmountable. We can't see a way through. We can't understand why. We think of those we know who are in pain, awaiting a diagnosis, waiting for an operation, struggling with anxiety and depression, facing a long, hard road to recovery, and those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. We lift to you now those dear to us, Sheila, Frank Connell, Nigel, Mike, Anne, Joan and family, and others known to us who are suffering at this time. Lord, we don't know why, and sometimes we're afraid to ask in case you think we are losing our faith. But we know that when times are tough, we need you more than ever. We need to cling tightly to you, just as you hold us firmly and safely in your arms. Help us to trust that even if the present is really, really hard, the future will be good, because you are a good God. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Father, we pray for our community. We think of those places that seem dark or dangerous. We pray for those who work in our community, and we pause to think of our neighbours, those we meet on the bus, in our office, our classroom, on our walks. Lord, you are Lord of all these people and places, whether we recognize it or not. You have a plan for our community. Help us to listen for the part you want us to play in bringing that plan to fruition. Give us the courage as a church and as individual people of God to tell others of your amazing faithfulness and love. Draw people to your light, we pray, and fill our streets with your praise. Lord, we thank you for the times when we have glimpses of your glory, when we have seen your promises coming true, even when we didn't expect it. We think of all the good things that have happened to us or our families this week, and we pause to give you thanks and praise. We thank you for good news stories, for those unexpected moments of joy, maybe from people we don't normally have much to do with, for fun, for laughter, for a job well done. We thank you that you are with us in these small moments as well as the life-changing ones. As we prepare to go into the coming week, help us to look forward to traveling with you. Go before us, Lord, and light our way. Help us to see you in the trivial and the timeless, in the life-changing and the ordinary. Keep us from following our own way, but instead, lead us on and take us where you are going. Surprise us with your presence. Startle us with answers to our unspoken prayers. And bring us back here next week with stories to tell of your goodness. Lord, as we wait for your promises to be fulfilled, help us to keep trusting your faithfulness and to keep following your wonderful, challenging path. Amen. Let us join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
We thank you, Diane, for leading us in our time of prayer. We shall now dedicate the offerings and ourselves to the Lord. Loving God, we bless you for all your wonderful gifts. We thank you for our homes, our families, and our friends. We thank you for our church. And we thank you for the gifts of creation, for daily bread, and for the bread of heaven. And Lord, now we offer to you these gifts and those given by standing order. And with them we give ourselves afresh to you. Help us to stand up for what is right, to stand up for Jesus this week, and to be counted among his followers. To him be the glory and praise forever. Amen. Please be seated, and we'll remain seated as we sing our communion hymn. Hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Take and drink. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and following his example, we take this bread and cup with thanksgiving. And Lord, we give you thanks that you loved the world, loved us so much that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. And so we celebrate his perfect sacrifice on the cross, the victory over evil, and his glorious resurrection and ascension. We look for his coming, and we pray by your Holy Spirit this bread and wine may be for us his body and blood, bringing us healing and wholeness, forgiving us of all our sins, and making us one with Jesus, giving us new strength to serve you. So, Lord, you welcome us to your table, and by your grace we come. Amen. All are welcome to receive bread and wine at the Lord's table, and if you would prefer to receive in your seat, then we will bring the bread and the wine to you afterwards. And aware of the time, if any need to leave after communion, then please do feel free to do so. So come to the Lord's table, come to his cross. In him is fullness of life, and by his wounds we are healed. Let us pray. Gracious God, we praise you for all you have given, all you have promised. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. And we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, that our love may be your love, reaching out into the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Rest upon you and remain with you all, this day and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
We join in saying together, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.